Are the supply and demand fundamentals having a play in today's trading action? You're listening to the American Ag Network, and I'm Susan Littlefield. And joining me today is going to be Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics, and obviously supply and demand fundamentals coming into play in this marketplace. How did you see that kind of taking center stage today, Mike, with these markets?
You know, with the holiday shortened week, it seems to me, Susan, that the pause in the tariffs, this 90-day extension that the Trump administration announced late last week, has kind of brought back to the forefront the supply-demand fundamentals. And we might be on the verge of maybe one of our first U.S. weather market trades after a holiday trade pause here coming up this weekend. And what I mean by that is both European and GFS weather models were very set on a very nice Easter rain for the hard red wheat belt and the western corn belt, including the South Dakota, Nebraska, and dry areas of Kansas and northern Oklahoma. The GFS model took a big U-turn on that and pulled out almost all the moisture and put the moisture right back into the already saturated areas of the Tennessee River Valley and Ohio River Valley coming up this weekend. And so I'm not sure whether the trade's going to try and price that in before we see the Easter break, or whether they want to come back in on Sunday night's trade after Easter and after the fact. But it seems clear to me, more clear to me, that the supply-demand fundamentals, the weather, they're more of an issue that the trade is willing to price in or take out of the premium instead of talking about tariffs pretty constantly. And I think it's because of that pause.
You know, and it is kind of nice to see the markets look at some other factor besides the fact that we know these tariff negotiations do continue. Somewhat quiet now in the backside, and as we get planting progress underway, it just maybe gives us a different avenue to focus on.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the one thing that I thought was interesting after the WASDE report was how the soybeans were held up so well and how they actually led the market higher after the numbers came out, which, you know, at the end of the day, we still have a world record in terms of ending stocks for the world on soybeans, you know, at least for a modern day record going back to the mid early 90s. The second thing, you know, I think you bring up a huge point about the tariffs and this pause is at the current time period, we still have the United States and China working very aggressively against each other, trying to secure business and bilateral trade agreements with the same countries. In other words, Japan, South Korea, India, the EU, the head of China, the President Xi, was in Vietnam, secured some trade deals there. That was a major move to be able to secure that. And now he's working on Malaysia, and he's trying to talk to Spain and also the EU at the same time. And so it leads me to think that the next big push in terms of price action in the commodities could be that whoever gets the most business in terms of these countries that both the U.S. and China are vying for will probably have the leverage and have the foothold to be able to win potentially the trade war between the U.S. and China. So the United States could get there before China, then maybe China would have to come to the table faster and maybe before the end of summer. Otherwise, if China gets the big trade deals with these major players, then maybe the United States would be more in the back footed and have to play more of a defensive posture as we go through the summertime. Either one of those and how it plays out, I think would make the weather either more or less important in terms of price action. In other words, if the U.S. has more of the upper hand, the weather and the need for China to come to the table may be greater if we have weather here in this country this summer.
You know, Mike, speaking of sales, Portugal, we haven't heard of a delivery going to Portugal in quite some time, and they made some purchases of U.S. corn.
Yeah, and that was on the heels of the European Union backing off their corn import tariff late last week. And so now we've had Spain and Portugal come in for corn. Very necessary, very much needed. We've also made some headway, it looks like, with some water issues in Mexico that keep the goods and the trade freeing slowly in terms of flowing freely with our neighbors to the south. So I think it's really important to keep track in my line of work to what we're doing right now, Susan, when it comes to the trade flows, because this is a very critical time, as I said a minute ago, to really keep the momentum on the side of the U.S. And that would include keeping the U.S. dollar at a discount and have it continue to weaken, not too sharply and not to depreciate too quickly, but to continue to weaken. And I think it's helped a lot to keep funds out of the short side of the markets for grains and livestock, with the fact that we're near just coming off a three-year low in the U.S. and the greenback.
So that leads me to a question I have from listening to a comment from a farmer. They know the demand is there for the corn that's already in the bin, but he had concerns about the demand for the corn that's going to go into the ground and that has started to go in the ground in the southern part of the U.S. What is your takeaway?
I still think that the South American corn crop is smaller than USDA's last WASDE report. And I still think that the grain situation in the Black Sea, whether it's corn or wheat or barley, is still tighter than what the trade is trading right now. You know, hard red wheat, as of Wednesday's close, is only about 10 cents off of its lows from a month ago, and its contract lows. My sense is that if the corn's going to go down in the summertime, it's going to be probably because the beans pull it down and the wheat's not there to help support it. And so that's kind of the secret sauce or the key recipe to the trend in the grain markets is corn can continue to go higher if the beans don't pull it lower and if the wheat supports it. Otherwise, I think we're getting to a point where I'm really wondering why, with the stocks of beans that we have, if we don't get any more product demand domestically, like sustainable aviation fuel increases, why would we be at 1040, 1050 lead month beans, and why we wouldn't be closer to an $8.59 price 6 or 9 months from now without any weather problems here in this country. So that's really the big key for me as far as the corn and bean in that relationship. And we saw that again on Wednesday with the bean corn ratio for the new crop making a new contract low, weakening in the soybeans compared to the Dease corn.
Well, as we get ready to wrap up, Mike, quickly, what's your takeaway on what we're seeing in this livestock complex today?
It's been a nice change. We've got the cash market underpinning us both in the feeders and the fats and also Wall Street. On a five-week running basis, Susan, right now, lead month S&P futures and lead month cattle have a positive 85% price relationship with one another. So we talked rhetorically about the funds watching Wall Street when they trade the cattle. We know that's the case given that kind of a correlation. I think the big issue with the cattle market is how does the summer growing season start off with such high prices and with a consumer that's being tested right now in his bank account and his 401k. So a lot more questions as we head into the summer growing season than we've had the last couple, 3 years. And I think the summer growing season is going to probably decide the trend in the cattle market, both cash and futures.
All right. Thanks so much. Mike Zuzulo joining us this afternoon to give us a market wrap up of today's trading session. I'm Susan Littlefield, and this is the American Ag Network.